The following program contains heavy spoilers, deep insight, and absolutely no filters. Listener discretion is advised. Chubbs on film. Chubbs on film. Chubbs on film. Chubbs on film. Welcome back. This is Snobs on Film. My name is Arthur. And I'm joined today by Isaac Perry and another regular of ours, John. Today we've got a new segment. Actually, it's new because we never had a segment before like this.
That is the definition of new. Thank you for defining new. I was so confused.
Isaac, have you ever wanted to get your hands on a beloved television or film franchise and do things your way?
Yes,
I know you have. Because you might be writing, rewriting stuff in your sleep.
In my mind, all the time. I rewrite life all the time in my mind.
All right, so now's your chance because this is the Snobs on Film Takeover series to give us a chance to rewrite, remix, reimagine, reboot legendary films and shows that may or may not have gone off track. So we're going to remix some plot lines and character arcs into our heart's content. So first up, the Terminator series. Help me out. There are four franchise films, all of which star Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then there was the television series. Was
it five films? Five films.
There are five films? Bro.
Yeah, there's Terminator, Terminator 2, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Uh-huh.
Terminator Salvation, Terminator Genesis.
Oh, I forgot about Salvation.
And Terminator, Terminator 6, supposedly coming next in 2019, mm-hmm. The Tim Miller directed Terminator 6. We've been promised that.
Okay. And then we've got the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Right.
How many seasons?
And then various, only two seasons before it was canceled. All and right. Then also various comic books too.
Okay. So the biggest problem that I've ever had with the Terminator series is that the timeline is the most confusing timeline I've ever experienced in a franchise. First film was in 1984, directed by James Cameron. Now, I think that was the one that really put James Cameron on the map as a director. And we're in Los Angeles in present-day 1980s. And we have a Terminator that comes from the future. And then we have my man, but what was he called?
Kyle Reese.
But I'm saying he was part of a
resistance,
squad.
Resistance.
Part of the resistance. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Kyle came over to protect Sarah Connor from this Terminator because Sarah was going to give birth to the man, John Connor, who would be the founder of the resistance and rise up against and fight the machines. But here's the thing. John Connor, who in the future sent Kyle Reese back to the past to protect his mama, Kyle turns out to be the father of John Connor, who in the future meets up with him,
right,
and says, "Kyle, I need you to go back and protect my mama." So there's this recursive loop,
mm-hmm.
that's happening. Now, aside from that,
John Connor introduced his mom and his dad.
Yeah. So, but the premise of it reminds me a lot of a film that came out in 1979 called Time After Time, which starred Malcolm McDowell, and it was a story about H.G. Wells creating a time machine, inviting some of his homies over, one of which just happened to be Jack the Ripper. Jack peeps the time machine, is like, "You know what? It's getting hot over here in London for me. Let me jump into this time machine, go into the future,
mm-hmm.
and kill some more women."
Mm-hmm.
H.G. Wells.
Why he's never been caught.
Figures this out. Right. That's why he's never been caught. H.G. Wells figures this out. It's like, "Damn, I left my keys in my time machine." Homeboy jumps in the thing, goes. So I'm going to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He follows him. And then it turns out that the woman that he meets, which is played by Mary Steenburgen, becomes the target of Jack the Ripper. And then there's just like this ultimate showdown. So it's like the core plot structure for Terminator is based on this campy movie that came out 5 years earlier.
But the problem that you have with the timeline with Terminator,
yeah,
it's, for me, it's not a problem because we don't know, we all we have are theories about time. We don't know how time works. All we have are theories. God. So is, you know, whether or not time is linear, whether or not
things can
happen, you know, time paradoxes can happen. We really don't know. So I get what you're saying. Like, how could that happen? Because how could he, if it hadn't, if he hadn't sent dude back, he wouldn't exist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So how did he send, is it a loop? What, you know, what's going on? We don't know, but I get what you're saying. The basic issue. Go ahead though. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, that was it.
So, yeah. So, I mean, at the end of that film, I mean, that the Terminator 1, that's the big, you know, that's the jump off for this universe. So, at the end of that film, Kyle Reese dies.
So, wait. Are there Terminator rules to time travel or are there Back to the Future rules to time travel? Which do we, like, what are the, what rules are we applying?
See, I'm from the Back to the Future school.
What are the rules?
Thought.
You're from the back, right. You're from the Back to the Future school. Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm from the school.
I respect time. I respect our understanding of time to move within a linear space.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't go to this school. I didn't go to any school when it comes to time. I'm kind of like anything is possible.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So according to your school, Arthur, then John Connor should have been fading out, basically, in the photograph.
That's right.
Erased from existence.
That's right.
Because,
yeah. That's right.
Hmm.
Otherwise, why Kyle? I mean, John Connor had to have known. He had to have had the pre-knowledge to know that that Kyle Reese was his father.
Mm-hmm.
But so wouldn't he only fade out if Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor didn't do the do? Wouldn't he only fade out if they don't do it?
But the whole thing. If I follow yours thing, Arthur, none of this is possible. Because you can't send somebody back to create you. In order for you to be created, if it's linear, they had to have created you. You can't be the person that sends them back.
That's my point.
Because you wouldn't exist.
There we go. That's exactly my point.
All right. So we know what Arthur would do if he took over the series. It would have never happened. So let's get to
the killer. The killer cyborg robot. That's cool. But the time travel stuff, bridge too far.
Right. So in Arthur's takeover, everything happens in 1984 or whatever, and that's it.
No, but you could have still had the same film without the revelation that John Connor...
Without the mind fuck, basically.
Right.
Right.
It could have been some other dude. It could have been her boyfriend or husband or however who was killed by the Terminator for trying to defend her. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole side piece about... Pardon the expression, pardon the pun. The whole side piece about John Connor being the son of Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese wasn't a necessary component.
And I think
there wasn't any buy-in, any further buy-in to the story.
I think Cameron has been asked about that over the years, and I think he's always, to my knowledge, I don't think he's ever like seriously answered it. I think he's just kind of like, hey, you know, creative license, basically.
Probably because it didn't make sense to him.
But it was cool. It was cool. So anyway,
whoever made that Malcolm McDowell thing, he's like, I need to watch that again before I'm
So at the end of Terminator 1, again, that's the jump off movie. At the end of that film, Sarah Connor has survived. She's pregnant. So we know that she's going to have John.
Right.
Kyle Reese has died. They've destroyed, seemingly they've destroyed the Terminator.
Yep.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator. And then you get the second movie, which is arguably a lot of people argue, say that's the better movie,
Judgment Day,
mm-hmm. Where this another Terminator, another Schwarzenegger Terminator shows up, but this time he's been reprogrammed to protect John, a teenage John,
right?
And we get, you know, a Linda Hamilton character, a Sarah Connor character, very different than the one in the first film. And this character, in my opinion, was a reaction to all the other the male stars of the 80s,
mm-hmm.
For sure,
in the early 90s.
Right. She was aggressive. She was bad about it.
Right. She was handling her business, doing chin ups in the psychiatric ward after she had told everybody about this, you know, apocalyptic future. They thought she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Threw her in there, blah blah blah. So those two films,
honestly, you know, just side note. Honestly, I'm so glad you said that because I can't think of a better action hero. Like Linda Hamilton's representation of Sarah Connor, whether it's in the combat gear or whether it's in her straitjacket in the mental hospital, like Bruce Willis, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, mm-hmm. all these cats at that time, all these Expendable cats. Like, Linda Hamilton should be in the Expendables, for Christ's sake. She was...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, she was the
illest, baddest ass. Oh, man, for real.
Oh, so... but yeah, so those two films set up this Terminator universe. So what happened next, though? That's the question, because then you had Terminator 3, I believe it was called... Was it called Rise of the Machines?
Rise of the Machines, yeah.
Which, in my opinion, was not a bad film.
Not atrocious.
Yeah, it wasn't atrocious. And in fact, the ending of that film, the idea that Judgment Day is inevitable, I thought was very creative, and I liked that ending. I think it was Claire Danes was in that, Jay?
That's right, Claire Danes. I thought the ending was wicked, like when you hear all those different voices of survivors on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're like, who's in charge? Are you in charge? Whatever his name, Connor, are you in charge, Connor? Mm. I thought it was nicely done.
Yeah, I love that idea of, you know, that they went through all that just to find out that it's inevitable, it's going to happen.
And the Terminator knew all the time, right?
Right, right. And I thought Schwarzenegger's portrayal of the Terminator in Rise of the Machines, I loved his portrayal of the Terminator. There was a tenderness between him and Connor that I think was even better than what happened in Judgment Day. It was right. almost like an understanding that he had. And I guess, again, to your point, it was that he understood that Judgment Day was inevitable. He was carrying that knowledge around with him. Where I thought that film failed was the female Terminator. I thought she was just a derivative of Robert Patrick's Terminator in Judgment Day. And I didn't.
Absolutely.
I just felt that they kept trying to one up, you know, the Terminator, the technology, and they're more advanced, and
the walk, the stare, the focus. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't buy, I forgot I think her name, Christina Loken, I think was the actress.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling her portrayal. Then we had to me, the best Terminator, and I may get some comments about this online, but to me, the best Terminator, even better than Arnold's, is Summer Glau in Sarah Connor Chronicles. And it may be because she had the most material to work with. We're talking about two seasons of television versus 2-hour movies. But her portrayal in the wide kind of the spectrum that she was able to cover as a Terminator, and all the story, her narrative, I thought was just very powerful. And I loved her portrayal of the Terminator.
I tend to agree with you, Isaac. I really like Summer Glau as a Terminator. I liked Lena Headey.
Do you like her? Do you think she's the best Sarah Connor? Do you like her better than Linda Hamilton?
No.
Okay.
Linda Hamilton was exceptional. Lena Headey was respectable. It was soft. It was quiet. It was gradual. It was gentle. It was everything that I like. I like the expanse of the ideas, but I think it lacked a little bit of focus and it became a little bit X-Files-y towards the middle of the second season. You know, there was a lot of attention on red dots and what those meant, or three dots and what those meant. And it became a little bit, I started to get the feeling that I was watching The X-Files, whereby, are we ever going to get this solved? Are we ever going to work this out? Or are they going in a completely different direction to what the Terminator should be about?
Yeah, I think it got a little bit too much writers writing for other writers. If you look at the first season, I think it's only 8 or 9 episodes. It's very short because I think it was during the writer's strike. Right. And so where it ended was unintentional. And then they had a full second season, but the first season is excellent. You know, it's really, really good. And then the second season had excellent episodes and was very good in other parts, but I felt that it got way too esoteric and it got too meta. And too much, like I said, writers writing for other writers and trying to be, maybe you're right. Maybe they were trying to be more X-Files, but not the X-Files, not the good X-Files.
Right. Yeah.
Laborious. But television is so, you know, television networks, it's like, they're so finicky that I really think that they should have got a third season and they could have righted the ship. I think that, you know, with some, good production notes, they could have put it back towards what it was in the first season. I was really, really disappointed when that show got canceled.
Same. They did a lot with what they had because I remember, you know, they must not have had much of a budget, but I remember the first big sort of action sequence is towards the end of the first season where the FBI figure out that there's a Terminator. I mean, they don't know it's a Terminator. They just think it's a kind of killer. But they realize that the Terminator is held up in this motel on the first floor of a motel. And it's kind of classic American motel where you have a little greenery and a swimming pool in the sort of central courtyard. And then the motel is kind of shaped like a horseshoe or like a sort of like a three-sided square around that courtyard with the swimming pool. And they place the camera at the bottom of the pool, and you just slowly see SWAT team members kind of one by one flying into the swimming pool. And I think It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong is playing, I think. And these guys just one by one just get thrown off the balcony, or they're shot or booted off or, you know, smacked off or whatever, and they're all dead. And it's just how 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 15 SWAT team members end up in this pool. I thought it was an amazing moment to show a horrific battle without showing the battle and without spending any money. It was very atmospheric.
Excellent scene. And it really set the tone for that show, even though the tone of that, like you said, that was, I think that was the season finale that year. So the tone had been set, but that was the exclamation point of that. This is a different Terminator, it was almost like the Star Trek to what had been Star Wars, if that makes sense. It was like the big blockbuster movies were good, and you know the first two were great, but this was a more intellectual type show. And that camera angle, putting it in the water and just watching, I was like, whoa, this show is dope. But that to me, you know, seeing it get canceled was hard, but that wasn't where the franchise went off the rails to me. I think Terminator, Sarah Connor was 2008, 2009, that show was on television. Terminator Salvation dropped in 2009.
Yeah.
And to me, that's where it went off the rails and, oh shit, what are they doing?
Because why though? Because, I mean, they attempted to explain, or at least they attempted to acknowledge that John knew that Kyle Reese was his father.
Well, to me, the problem...
It's almost sort of tried to glue my issues all together.
Right, but I didn't have a problem with that. My thing was that I felt like they forgot why this was dope. Why it was dope, because Terminator Salvation took place in the future. It takes place during, you know, in the war, and, you know, doesn't flash. It doesn't, no one goes back in the past, or at least they don't show anybody go back in the past. To me, Terminator as a franchise is dope because it's us in present day dealing with these future events as amalgamations within art, the context of our world. When you take it to the future world and it's all of a sudden this war, and it's like, it's almost like the same thing that they went off the rails with the Matrix. They forgot what made the Matrix dope.
Right.
First Matrix movie was dope because we were inside the Matrix. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden in the second and the third one, they spent so much time outside of the Matrix trying to be Star Wars, you know what I'm saying, with all these ships and all this stuff. It was like, this is not why this series is dope. And I think the same thing happened with the Terminator, where they forgot seeing a Terminator come back into the past and how we deal with that as people in the past. That's what's interesting about this. That's what Sarah Connor Chronicles, the television show, got really, really right. And Salvation didn't.
Do you think they made the mistake, the Terminator franchise made the mistake of competing with Matrix? Particularly after,
Because this was 2009. This is post. I think
they just were trying to do their own movie, but they just, the ideas they had were ripoffs of other famous ideas. I wouldn't have ripped off Blade Runner for a start. You know, I mean, this whole kind of thing of a man who's a machine who doesn't really know he's a machine. Come on.
Right. Yeah, that was bullshit. And they had two heroes. They had two protagonists, and they couldn't decide whose story it was. Was it
they couldn't Christian, decide? You had Christian Bale and Sam Christian Worthington. Bale.
Yeah, it was a Christian Bale's movie, or was it Sam Worthington's movie? And if you want to split it between the two of them, the job that they did wasn't very good. The way the narrative.
They hired Common, you know.
Early in his career.
It did have one of the dopest lines of the series, though, or kind of one of the riffed off one of the dopest lines. You're wondering the whole movie, how are they going to get the I'll be back, you know, into the movie? And it happens when Connor's wife asks him, what should I tell your men? And he says, almost in a nonchalant way, tell him I'll be back. And it was like, that was dope, because it was like, it could have been a really cheesy, you know, or forced type thing. But the way that Christian Bale did it, I said, okay, that was dope. But yeah, the rest of it was not dope.
So you wouldn't have made Genesis?
Genesis, full disclosure, I've told myself I've got to watch Genesis. I've got to force myself to watch Genesis before we record this episode. I could not find, every time I wanted to watch Genesis, there was something else that seemed more pressing. And by pressing, I mean anything. So Genesis, the trailers that I saw even before that movie came out didn't look good. Immediately, that movie got hit with all types of bad reviews. Everybody I know who's seen it said, don't see it. To me, again, is that they, I guess at this point, they're unsure of what to do with this narrative, you know, where to go with it, which is why we're here. They should have called us. But that's why I think it does need to take over.
So how would you fix it? Would you have shuttered it?
All right. So we erased the last three films and even the TV show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm through with you already.
So we just have the first two films. And then my franchise is only going to be two films. It's not a trilogy. It's not going to outstay its welcome. It's just two films. So we pick up after Terminator 2, basically 25 years later. The most important headline in my vision, neither Schwarzenegger nor his likeness, nor the words I'll be back or get out will feature in my franchise. So no corniness at all. So 25 years after Terminator 2. Oh, and by the way, I'm copywriting this shit. So Cameron, if you're listening, I'll come in after you if you touch this. Okay, so there's been no further attempts on Sarah's life during this entire period. Mm-hmm. She's still on the FBI most wanted list. John Connor, however, is dead. He's tragically victim to something seemingly unrelated. After John's death, completely understandably, Sarah falls completely apart and basically sees no reason for living. Warning signs start to flash amongst the sort of small network of people she associated with, and they sort of see some flash points that artificial intelligence is suddenly reaching new heights, unseen for the last 25 years. Sarah quietly realizes that Judgment Day is back on track, but she no longer cares because John was her world. He was her focus, and that's now been finally taken away from her. She's got no reason for living and is more disassociated than we've ever seen her before.
Okay, there are only two movies in your franchise. This is the second movie, right?
This is the first movie.
This is the first movie?
It's the first movie.
Okay. But this follows Terminator 2.
Yeah, we have Terminator, we have Terminator movie, and then we've got Jahan Terminator 3, Jahan Terminator 4.
Nah, I got you. I'm with you. Okay.
All right. And this is Jahan Terminator 3. So she's completely disassociated, fallen apart. I don't care if the world ends, whatever. Let the world burn. That's when we get our visitor from the future. A Terminator, of course. However, this time, the Terminator's primary mission isn't to protect her or to kill her. It's to rally her, inform her that after John's death, she's now the one at whatever it is, 55, 60 years old, whatever, however old Linda Hamilton is, and Linda Hamilton's got to play it, that she's now the one that will lead the resistance and fight the machines. And that Terminator is in the physical form of Kyle Reese, played by Michael Biehn. So he finds her in a bar, semi-passed out on a table with a whiskey bottle. And his first words to her are quietly, tenderly, but very quietly, "On your feet, soldier. On your feet." Which are the same words that she says to Kyle towards the end of the Terminator when he's almost fatally wounded. Mm-hmm. And he's about to give up, and she screams at him. And that's the first military-like Sarah that we see, right? So he brings her up to speed on the new future and persuades her gradually that she has to keep on, that she's now the best hope. He also brings a twist with him that's kind of in keeping with what we liked about The Rise of the Machines. They can't stop Judgment Day. And the film actually ends with Sarah and Reese watching Judgment Day take place. So there's some subplots involving the FBI closing in on Sarah, government systems being hacked by Skynet, hackers that figure it out. But the film, at its heart, is a drama between Sarah and Reese. And she sorts to basically fall in love with him, even though he's a killer robot. That's the third film. Then the fourth film is the final film in the franchise.
You don't get to make a fourth film because the third film did so terribly that they've canceled the franchise.
It's gonna be like Titanic, bro. Okay, the fourth film in the franchise is basically the post Judgment Day follow up that we never got, that we should have got, that they promised us with Salvation, and they failed so abjectly to deliver. And it's basically all out war, humans on the ropes vibe that we've never really gotten to see. So that dark R-rated, 18-rated, 18 and over war film, basically like Aliens, but with Terminators. Mm-hmm. So think back to that flashback or dream sequence in the original Terminator where Reese is remembering what it's like, etc. And they're sort of underground in this kind of bunker, and a Terminator infiltrates the rebel base, and he's wearing that dirty hooded cloak and just shoots up the whole place, etc. So it will be like that the whole time. And it will just be basically a war film.
Wah, wah, wah.
I mean, it sounds complete.
Nah, it sounds...
There are no time travel issues, really?
That's your major thing, is the time.
I have a real problem with that.
It subscribes to
you're
the
all about
the
continuity
future.
And linearness. It's like, if it's linear, you're big, cool.
Yeah, continuity so is fairly
what's
important.
What's your main beef with the
But dude, the whole,
what's your main beef?
But hold on, just let me deal with Arthur first, quick thing. One of the things that's fun about the Terminator is this idea of questioning time and questioning timelines, and how does the future affect the past and the past affect. You got to kind of let go a little bit, dog. No.
What's your beef? Apart from the fact that he doesn't have enough time travel.
Well,
trying to keep it simple and clean. We've done that time travel thing to death.
I'm with you on that. But here's my beef is that the fourth movie, as you described, again, to my earlier point, the less time we spend in the future, the better. In my opinion, I don't think that the Terminator series is not about the future. It's about what happens for the characters. It's about what happens in the future. But for us as viewers, it's about seeing those future elements in the context of our present and the ominousness that comes with knowing that if we don't do something now, this is the end of the world is coming. I think in the first Terminator movie, John, you said that there's that dream sequence. I think that's right. The only glimpse we get of the future, right?
Right.
Right. So that whole movie, that you had that kind of eerie feeling every time Kyle would describe, you know, what was going to happen and the urgency. Michael Biehn, man, that mother, I loved him in Aliens, but in his role in Terminator, he killed that character. You know what I'm saying? It's like
why we need him back.
Yeah, he really kind of like brought that sense of, and I loved how they cast him in contrast to Schwarzenegger. He's not a big guy. You know what I'm saying? Right. He's not, you had this huge, you know, bodybuilder as the Terminator. And then you had this little kind of scrappy dude, you know, who looked like he could handle himself, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't muscle bound. You're right. He wasn't like, so I loved how he portrayed him, the urgency and kind of the frenetic, you know, energy about him, the kinetic energy. It's like, he always felt like, you know, he's carrying, he pulled off the idea of being a someone who had just come from a war. You know what I'm saying? And was trying to prevent that war from happening. He felt like a vet to me. So my beef, I don't think that we need to go to the future, like either in Salvation or in your fourth film. For me, my takeover would be, I agree with you. The first two films still exist. I wouldn't do anything with those two. I would leave them as is. But the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which in reality did pick up, they ignored the third film as well. I don't know, in 2008, when did Rise of the Machines come out? I think it did come out before Sarah Connor Chronicles. So they ignored Rise of the Machines, and that the television show took place right after Judgment, Terminator 2. So I would maintain that. I think the only thing I would, and I'm not going to be as detailed to you as you, Jay, but I think the only thing I would change, I don't think that the Terminator story is best served anymore through film. I think it's best on television. And I think that because there's a limit to how much we can explore within those 2 hours. And I think in the first two films, we've seen that. And it's kind of like with the problems that Ridley Scott is having right now with the Alien franchise. The first Alien movie was groundbreaking. In the sense of we'd never seen anything like that, you know, as far as the horror movie element of that mixed with the sci-fi element. And then the second one was groundbreaking because James Cameron pretty much flipped the script entirely and made it an action movie, action horror movie. But to keep doing that, you know, the recent horror alien movie that came out, what was it called? Covenant. It didn't do well at all. And I think that's because audience are, they're used to seeing the alien now. It's like, you're not showing us anything new. The same thing with the Terminator franchise. I don't think doing films, 2-hour movies is the way to go with this. I think the Sarah Connor Chronicles got it right by giving room within a television series, that many episodes you have to expand upon these narratives and to really explore different things. So in my takeover, I would maintain the first season of Sarah Connor Chronicles as is. The second season, though, I would remix to, again, as to my earlier point, to make it less esoteric and to not end it. I believe that the last episode of that of the show, which ended up becoming the series finale, not just the season finale, the last episode had time travel where John Connor and Summer Glau ended up going to the future. You know, so now they're in the future. In my takeover, what happens is the whatever resource that they're using to create the time travel possibility, either the machinery or the technology, whatever resource that is, I would limit that and eventually end it. So no one can do any more time travel. I would posit that there's a certain amount of Terminators in our present, mm-hmm. That was for Sarah, John, and Summer Glau's Terminator, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Kyle Reese's, because in the television show, Kyle Reese's brother Derek Reese shows up. So I would leave a certain amount of Terminators in the present, but through some type of narrative or plot development, they would come to find out that resource or that technology doesn't exist anymore in the future. There's no way for anybody to do any more time travel, because I think when you have that possibility of time travel, it almost becomes a crutch for the writers, for the storytellers, to keep doing this thing where, okay, we can rewrite it or we can remix the timeline. I think the timeline has been messed with so much that people like Arthur are tired of it. And it's like, I don't want, you're confusing the hell out of me. Terminator Genesis, from what I've heard, remixed it again to the point where it kind of threw out a lot of things that happened in the first three movies. So I think you have to have some sort of concrete. And that's why I said I'm gonna contradict what I said earlier. I think there has to be some type of concrete loyalty to the timeline that you've established. So I would get rid of time travel. I would do a second season. I remix the second season of Sarah Connor Chronicles, and then I would carry on the Terminator universe through a third season of Sarah Connor Chronicles, and I would forget the movies. This Tim Miller / James Cameron movie that's slated to come out next year, I'm worried about it. Linda Carter is rumored to be coming back, or Linda Hamilton is rumored to be coming back. Schwarzenegger is, of course, down for whatever. And Tim Miller is saying that we're going to get back to the roots of the Terminator, the first two Terminators. But to me, that sounds promising, but I'm worried that, again, they're just going to show us what we already have seen, and it's going to be another Alien Covenant situation.
I got to push back a little bit, because I don't think that what I've suggested is what we've already seen. We've never seen, other than that one moment in the original Terminator, what Kyle Reese has experienced, what he's really experienced. And Kyle Reese being Michael Biehn, mm-hmm. the character played by Michael Biehn, James Cameron's vision of the original post-Judgment Day situation. And I think that's...
Is it going to be... Let me ask you this, though, Jay. Are your films rated R or rated PG-13?
18. R.
R. Okay. So... R.
Yeah. Adults only.
I could see the possibility of your fourth film, the war movie...
I want it to be frightening, like as Aliens was, basically.
It'd have to be harder than Aliens, because this is my point. For you to show me something new, because if you're just going to say, okay, it's a war movie, the humans versus the machines, I've seen that not only in Terminator, I've seen that in a lot of different movies. But mm-hmm. if you do a hard R where it's going to really show basically show these machines going off on these humans, you know what I'm saying? I need to see gruesome, nasty, horrific type shit.
I want it to be the wildest shit out there. I mean, you know what? And not just you know, not just fighting, but when we saw that first Terminator in through the eyes of Kyle Reese, through his memory of his nightmare
right.
of the future, it was infiltration. It wasn't like on the battlefield. Them shooting. It wasn't like that. It wasn't hand-to-hand combat. It was infiltration. They thought they were safe.
Right.
And a dude in a cloak shows up and he's not a dude in the cloak. He's a robot in a dude's skin in a cloak.
Why do you want this war film so bad? Is it what's up?
Because I think it'll be dope. And I think talk that's to what
us,
we've man. Never,
what's going on with you? Talk to us.
Because we've never listened. I'm saying this, bro. Talk to most Terminator fans. They expected salvation to be aliens with Terminators. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was set in the bloody daylight. Common was, you know, Helena Bonham Carter was in it and then she wasn't in it. And it's not Christian Bale's movie and he swore at the director and it's Always Sunny. What's going on? It wasn't the dark, nasty, wet, muddy war film that
you know what?
Been teased.
You know what? Here's
the way from the first Terminator.
Here's how we can make my takeover work with your takeover. We'll do the first two films stay the same. We both agree with that. But I think that we do the Sarah Connor Chronicles. We start, you know, we do that television show and that continues on. Your war film, you get to do your war film, but it's almost like a spinoff. In other words, it's obviously connected to this universe, but it doesn't have to be a sequel and it's a standalone.
But don't you want to see, doesn't the world want to see 60-year-old Sarah Connor, the general of that shit? I mean, maybe the answer is no, and that breaks my heart, but doesn't the world want to see a completely different action hero running it?
Yeah, but I think we should create a new, because listen, if all humanity is battling the machines, it's just like with Star Wars. You want them to get away from the Skywalker family. It doesn't always have to be about the Skywalkers. So if this is entire humanity versus the machines, it ain't always got to be about the Connors, even though John Connor is supposed to be the leader of the resistance. Maybe your war film is about a battalion, just like Saving Private Ryan. We find it. We tell a story about one battalion.
Yeah, fair enough. That
might be dope.
That
might be dope.
That wouldn't necessarily be bad. But I have a vision of Sarah being the one and her dying at the end of the, you know, not the good guys not winning it, basically. The Terminator's winning or it not being over. It not being over, but it's, you know, we're on the ropes.
You could still do that because, and it'd be, I mean, imagine like a Rogue One type joint, you know what I'm saying? Except in the end, maybe this will make you happy with your dark ass. maybe this will make you happy. All your characters die and the Terminators win.
Yeah. I mean, I'll allow the almost all your changes, but I'm kind of married to Michael Biehn and Linda Hamilton being the stars of both.
But don't you think that it's still more compelling to see that element of that sort of a future, the darkness of that, what's the word? Dystopian, that type of dystopian future. Don't you think it's more compelling to see that in the context of our present as opposed to going and seeing it in the future? Isn't it more because
how do we achieve it? We can only achieve that if you allow a bunch
that's the
of
first,
Terminators,
that's,
like
to me,
hundreds
that's,
of Terminators to come back.
No. But to me, that's the power of the first two. I'm saying alien films. That's the power of the first two Terminator films, because between Schwarzenegger and Kyle Reese, that's where you felt it. You felt that dystopia.
You do, but you still have most of the world is still safe to them. I mean,
I know
safe,
that's what made it dope, because whenever they would flash to, for instance, mm-hmm. the police station, when they, you know, when the iconic police station scene, mm-hmm. you do see that's our world is safe. Everything's cool. And then Schwarzenegger walks in.
And then he shows up and he does.
And
I agree 100%.
He brings all of that ominous.
But we've seen that now. And we've not only seen it with Terminator, we've seen it with every slasher flick.
Yeah, but I think that Terminator owns it in that unique way that makes it. So it's like, you can do more. You can do more of that.
What I would think would be interesting, and this works better, I think, in the context of maybe even a reboot, is because on screen, I don't think they've ever really gotten Skynet right. I know they try. I know they put a human face on it with Helena Bonham Carter in the third one's Genesis.
They
where
did
she was, where she represented Skynet by the Carter played the doctor, the scientist that was killed, and then Skynet the AI persona of Skynet became this doctor.
Yeah, but even in the Sarah Connor Chronicles in the second season, Jay, the chick, she seemed to be always dressed in red, the blonde, she represented, I don't know if she represented
you
Skynet.
You mean Lily Cole, the Scottish?
Right, the Scottish chick. She represented, yeah. You know, and to me, that's where it kind of went off the rails, you know, a little bit in Sarah kind of Chronicles. I didn't need...
Well, that's when it became a bit... That was intriguing to me because she seemed to be basically Cyberdyne Skynet like type, but if I'm remembering correctly, she didn't seem to be 100% supportive of the Terminator or
right, right.
Wasn't she? What her motives were not what we would expect them to be.
Right,
representing right. artificial intelligence.
Right, and I think that for
in a Terminator universe. And I liked it, but it also they just teased it too much.
But know? I think they for my
we got no payoff.
For my takeover, though, I think that's part of that's what, and that's why I say it has to happen on television, is that I want to see them explore. We've always heard about Cyberdyne and Skynet, and there we don't really get a sense of, you know,
how it was created.
Yeah, well, we get a sense of that, but we don't get the internal story.
Well, that's,
and I think I would like to see, because right now, as in 2018, we're dealing with this because we have this clash of. What? How far should we take technology?
Right.
Now machine we're talking learning. About AI and machine uh-huh. learning. Uh-huh. So this to me would be a perfect time to show that on that through that story of the Skynet, Cyberdyne, and was there right. people within those organizations who were like, no, we shouldn't be doing this, so on and so forth. That's what I think it has to be a television series.
I'm not opposed to that, and even more so with Skynet was a model of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Which was a Reagan administration program to create, to set up
the
a
missile
defense in space, to weaponize space. That's where Skynet, the idea of Skynet even came from. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting to make a film, a Terminator film, about those kinds of origins, to have a piece in there about those, it could be a television series. But I'm saying, develop the piece that you're talking about and putting it into a context of geopolitical attitudes toward the need for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with that. And I think that needs, to John's point about we've seen this already, we've seen that already, I think that needs to happen for this narrative to move forward. But you know what, man, as long as you are in a two-hour Hollywood blockbuster format, which any Terminator...
Oh, I could never get this made, it's obvious, but...
Right, but I'm saying even if you got a green light to move ahead with this story, and any Terminator right. any Terminator story that ends up in on the big screen... is going to be a blockbuster, and that means there needs to be an action scene every, you know, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, or 10 minutes, whatever it is now. So that limits your storytelling. And I think for the first two movies, the way they got around that and the way that Cameron was able to introduce so many layers to that story was the fact that they were on the run. So it was like they could, you know, have in the first movie it was Linda Carter and Kyle Reese on the run, or Linda Carter. Gee, I keep going Wonder
Linda
Woman.
Hamilton.
Right.
Linda
Hamilton and Kyle Reese were on the run. And then in the second film, it was, you know, the three of them were on the run with the Terminator. So they were able to have action scene. But at the same time, this other narrative was going on because they were constantly in conversation and the action actually played into what they were doing. So it was like that. They got around that. I think, though, once you start introducing, and I think Terminator, The Rise of Machines kind of ran into this issue a little bit because there was a little bit more, there's multiple stories going on there with the Claire Danes' father being in the military. Mm-hmm. I think once you start introducing more layers into a action blockbuster film like this, it gets really, really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think, I mean, there's a way around that. Like I said, she's still wanted by the FBI, etc. And even Skynet working sort of quietly behind the scenes without necessarily a Terminator being the one, with them sort of sending information to the FBI or whatever, them basically influencing our with information, artificial information from an artificial intelligence influencing our real life operators, etc. And they're, you know, they're running around. But the key thing I want it to be is basically a love story. And
so wait a minute. Yeah. Tell me straight up. Put it all on the table. Yeah. In your takeover, does she end up having sex with this Terminator? Because you did say it's rated R.
It's rated R. But no, I don't necessarily know if the machinery works, pardon the pun, in that respect. But no, there's very, very tender. But look, anything can be a love story.
I know, that's what I'm just
if
checking.
If it's executed well, Star Wars is a love story. Serpico is a love story. Basically, I mean, he's in love with the police department, but or what he thinks the police department should be. But it's basically a love story. Right. And it will be, you know, it would be like the first action movie where the two leads are basically in their 50s or 60s.
I think Linda Hamilton is coming back though. So she's 61, I believe now. But you know what?
Wouldn't it be nice if Sarah Connor wasn't just this random waitress chick? I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if she was like a PhD candidate or something like that, actually working on the Skynet project? Then that's like a real reason. So that by the time you get to Terminator 2, she's got the ability to be able to actually get into the code. And have a battle with Skynet.
So you're saying in your takeover, you would maintain the first film, but you would make her, instead of being a waitress, she would be...
I would give her some significance. I would give her character some real weight and significance in the overall story.
So in the technological story.
In the technological story.
So by Terminator 2 happens, she has the ability to... She doesn't... Because really, John Connor, especially in the Sarah Connor Chronicles... It's revealed that he has a very keen mind for computers and for code and this, that, and the third. So she really relies upon him for that. But you're saying you would make her that.
I would make her his teacher. Mm-hmm. That by the time we get to Terminator 2, when she's basically like, she's figured stuff out, mm-hmm. And now she knows she needs to mobilize. You know, mm-hmm. she's mobilizing in part to hack into Skynet systems, retrieve her code, mm-hmm. pull down an old GitHub repository or something like that if you modernize this, mm-hmm. and modernize this reboot in some kind of way, that she then begins to counter Skynet before it fully develops to even be able to issue a Terminator. Mm. How's that for time travel?
Mm. Everything comes back to the time, to linearness with you. But you know what? Both of you guys' arguments are supporting mine. I think both of your takeovers work better as a television series. I think John's love story / political intrigue to me is better served in a television series than 4 hours of film. And here's I'm gonna say this, and I think I can rest my case on this one, especially for anybody who's actually seen it. In the first season, or it might be the first half of the second season of Sarah Connor Chronicles, this is why I believe this needs to be a television show. There's an episode where Summer Glau's Terminator, through the narrative of that particular episode, interacts with a ballet teacher. Mm-hmm. And so she learns ballet. At the end of the episode, they're all in the house together. So you have, living in this house at this time, you have her, the Terminator, John Connor, Sarah Connor, and Derek Reese, John's uncle, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's a scene where, and Derek Reese, coming from the future, and being a soldier, has serious issues with, as they call it, metal, with Terminators. Mm-hmm. So he has issues with Summer Glau's character, even though he knows that she's there to protect John. Mm. He still, he doesn't interact very well with her. So there's a scene, though, when he walks past her room, her door is cracked. And John, tell me if you remember this, her door is cracked and she's practicing ballet. Now, Summer Glau in real life knows she's a dancer. So she's doing this very graceful turn and looks very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Derek Reese is standing there staring at her, and you see a tear come out of his eye, because in his mind, he can't. There's this tension, this juxtaposition between the machine
very nicely done.
And mm-hmm. the beauty of that he's watching. To me, that's why it has to be a television show, because every episode before that led up to that moment. And that moment is probably that, along with the moment that Jahan described earlier with the swimming pool, are the two best in the entire series. Mm. And I think that's why what James Cameron has created, this idea, and it's it goes back to the Wizard of Oz and probably before that, the idea of machines having hearts and souls and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new, but the twist that he gave it and, everything that he did with it in our modern time is very interesting. And that scene kind of encapsulated a lot of what's going on mm-hmm. in this, mm-hmm. this show.
Before we wrap, let me ask you this. Do we trust James Cameron to do this new Terminator film well?
Well, first of all, Miller's directing. I think James Cameron, I don't even think he's writing the script. I think he's consulting on the script.
I thought it was his film. I thought he was directing it.
No, Tim Miller is directing it. They've assembled a quote unquote writer's room, and Cameron rumor has it that he's there every week, at least once a week, mm-hmm. Working with the writers and approving or disapproving what they're doing. But Jay, the man has made more money than any other director in Hollywood. Between Avatar, Titanic, Aliens, Terminator, he can do whatever the hell he wants. You know what I'm saying? It's like he's basically a sure bet at this point. Mm-hmm. But if he's not
I'm saying artistically,
I get the question. I think he could. I would trust him to do it.
I would trust him if he's coming back and directing. you know, in writing and directing and putting the passion into it that he apparently has for Avatar, because he's doing like 15 or 25 sequels for that movie. If he were putting that amount of passion into Terminator, I'd be like,
over as many years,
yeah, we're gonna be all right. Because look at everything he's put passion in, has been dope. Titanic, remember when Titanic was in production and it was, the whole story was that he's spending all this money, they're fantastically over budget,
right?
That's all anybody talked about.
Right. On a movie where we already know how it ends.
Movie dropped. Nobody ever mentioned that again. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But has it all been dope? I mean, certainly Avatar I did not rate. Like, that is just a remake of Last Samurai, Dance with Wolves, basically every white man fighting with natives, realizing that the side he was fighting on is wrong.
Yeah, I think that from a plot point, it's a very familiar story. But that movie was dope. I defy anybody to go see that movie and sit there like they're bored. That movie was, it was,
I think I was a bit bored, bro.
Okay. All right. Any normal person.
It was visually arresting.
But no, I mean, I just don't think that you can really bet against this dude at this point.
No, you can't. You can't. But I'm just saying, I'm not asking in terms of public blockbuster, you know, that's not what this segment's about. I'm asking artistic.
Yeah, I'm speaking
of this artistic vision.
Yeah, artistically, I don't think, you know, if I look at his action films, I don't think he can really bet against them, even artistically. But again, he's not directing this film and he's just stopping by once a week. So to me, that doesn't say passionate.
Yeah, that's, you know,
when Cameron is passionate about something, it's almost like it's 24/7. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what he does. And I'll take 20 years to actually make this movie before I put it out. You know, so what has it been, 10 years, 12 years since Avatar? Has it been that long? It's been a long time. So yeah, Avatar. He takes his time. So yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant about this movie coming out next year. Plus, if it bombs, it'll be the third movie in a row that didn't get it right.
Love is so much better the third time around. We won't make the same mistakes with this new love we found.
Okay, snaps on film full. Lid.
I won.
Yeah,
not a contest. Yeah. You have to have a story to win, bro.
All right. We are online at snobsonfilm.com.
We'll let the people decide. They'll decide who which takeover they like best.
Well, they can let you know. What's your Twitter handle?
You can find me at Isaac Perry on Twitter and Instagram, but hit us on at snobsonfilm and let us know which takeover you prefer.
Definitely, but I wanted them to direct their stuff to you.
Nah, it's all love in me. The hate is going towards Jay from England. That's where the hate is going. Yeah, but it's all love for me. I would like to hear if people have other takeovers in mind, what they would do. Because the one thing about the Terminator series, it's popular. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of our pop culture right now. You know, it always has been since it dropped. So everybody knows Terminator. So I kind of interested in seeing what other people, how they would take it over.
Twitter handle is Snobs on Film. The Instagram handle is Snobs on Film. Jahan, you live on Twitter or you exclusively live at Skynet?
No, you can find me on Twitter at Jahan's Dream and also at Total Music Snobs, where basically if someone's going off-piste and doesn't sign their name and is saying something
wildly esoteric and hard to substantiate.
Yes,
it's it is John.
And if I'm not on Twitter, you can find me
on Sesame Street.
Bingo.
And I'm your host, Arthur. I can be found at Twitter. ARRTHURR is my handle. Thanks very much for listening in. We'll see you next show.
Can try to get me back.
But doesn't anybody think it was bad staffing to send a Terminator that looked exactly like the Terminator that went to kill her?
I think there's a Walmart for Terminators, mate. I think they just basically take what they've got.
Wait a minute. You can't just jump on Amazon and order the Terminator that you want?
I'm just saying. We're in the future.
Is down.
We're in the future. I get that it's an older model.
Arthur's like, somebody should be like, yo, won't this traumatize her a little bit?
Thank you. Nobody thought about
that. You know
this?
What? I'm with you, though, Arthur. I'm just saying. That is kind of fucked up.
I'd be the guy, be like, hey, let me just tell you. All right.